This is a special intro to the Armchair Survivalist for all you Democrat snowflakes out there.
I saw her today at the reception. A glass of wine in her hand. I knew she was gonna meet her connection. At her feet was a footloose man. And I said that you can't always get what you want, honey. You can't always get what you want. You can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, well, you might just find. And you might just reception. In a glass was a bleeding man. She was practiced at the art of deception. I could tell by her bloodstained hands. And I said, that you can't always get what you want. Oh, you can't always get what you want. Ah, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometime, it just might find, it just might find, find you what you need. Ah, yeah. Oh, and you can't always get what you want. And you can't always satisfy your greed. Ah, you can't always get what you want. Maybe try sometime, it just might find.
Maybe that song will take the sting out of the election for you Democrats out there. Welcome to the show. This is the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I am the Armchair Survivalist, and today is November the 1st in the year 2020. Howdy, everyone. Well, this is election season, right? So there's a whole bunch of weird things happening, and especially if you're in a communist-controlled city or state. We'll get into that later. So we'll cover the stuff now to be opening of the show, which is I always talk to people about Survival Enterprises and what's going on with us. Just so you guys know, we've been selling Trump flags and Trump hats, and we've got a bunch of them left. $5 a piece. If you need a blue line flag, which is the pro-police American flag with a blue line in it. Oh, by the way, and the Democrats are now saying that's the anti-BLM flag. The Gadsden flag, Don't Tread on Me, and Trumpageddon. This is where Trump is holding a Barrett 50 caliber standing on a tank. $5 a piece, and hats. We've got all the different Trump hats, including the ones that say, make liberals cry again. That's all there. You all know how to listen to me, obviously, because you're listening to me. For those of you who are trying to figure it out, you go to armchairsurvivalist.com. Scroll down. It'll tell you. I'm on every podcast known to man. iHeart, Pandora, Spotify, Google, Apple, blah, 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 blah. I'm on satellite, and you can listen to me on your cell phone. And this is kind of problematic for some of you because the plans that most people have, even though they say unlimited, it's fraud. They're not unlimited. They're lying to you. They do limit you to a degree. They just don't want you using it all the time to listen to somebody for like hours and hours and hours and hours. So one of the things they'll do is restrict you from dialing a specific phone number. So what happens is if you dial the number that I'm going to give you or any number for any radio show and all of a sudden it says you can't connect, well, it's because they're limiting you. And usually they'll give you a separate number to dial. So the number you can call now is area code 641-741-0371, 641-741-0371. And if there's a problem with that, they'll usually, like I said, give you another number to call. You can listen in the chat room, armchairsurvivalist.com, in the chat room, and you can either sign in and talk to whoever's there to talk or just listen. It's no big deal. If you miss the show, There's different ways to listen to it. I got a link at the top of the page. Listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Do click there and you can listen to it. Or on the left-hand side of the page is a little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that and it'll take you to my archive page, and I have links to every show I've done for the current year there. Okay. Now you'll hear me refer to show notes. When I talk, I don't just pull something out of my hat. I have source for you to look at too. Knowledge is power. I don't like it when people just say, well, I believe everything you say, so I'm never going to check anything. Well, that's, if you don't care, that's fine. But for those of you out there, and there's a lot of you who want to do some research, you go to my show notes page. All these links are on any of my pages at armchairsurvivalist.com. I will have links on the show notes page to reports, investigations, and videos, so you can actually see the sound clip that I'm usually going to play. I mean, I've got like, what do I have, 6, 7, 8, 9 sound clips or something like that. Yeah, a lot of things are happening that's coming out now. It's a little late for it to be coming out, but people still need to know this data. So there's a lot happening in the background. There's a lot of stuff happening, and we'll just get into it now. Let's start with the economy. The third quarter of this year, which we're in right now, the economy has surged over 33%. Now, that doesn't mean anything to most people. All they care about is, did I get a paycheck? Well, the gross domestic product, meaning how much money people were creating during this third quarter, is roughly double of the most impressive expansion in history. You can't downplay this. This is proof that the economic plan that Trump has been using is working. And what's happening is that people are getting fed up with this communist takeover, ordering everyone to shut down, ordering everyone to wear a mask, ordering all this crap. So people are saying, screw you, and opening their business. And this is what's happening. Salt Lake Tribune, very liberal, flat communist newspaper. They're going to stop printing their dailies, and they've been printing for 149 years. Starting next year, I've talked about this part many times. Starting next year is going to be I don't know how else to put this, a crapload of bankruptcies. There are so many domino effects from everything that's been created in the United States by these communists that control the states. The businesses that have shut down, the non-eviction orders that have gone out. I mean, well, if a guy has no income, then he can't pay for his apartment or his house. Well, that's a domino effect, too. It goes from the apartment not getting paid for to the person or corporation that owns the apartment building to not getting paid, to that guy not being able to make his mortgage payment, and the bank not being able to make their loan payments. The Federal Reserve right now is printing trillions of dollars a night and putting it in banks to keep the bank solvent because of this domino effect. Starting next year, doesn't matter who wins, doesn't matter who wins, you're going to see bankruptcies rolling around like crazy. I've talked to two different people this week alone who were lawyers. They're now in the criminal area, but they were bankruptcy lawyers. And they got out of bankruptcy and went back to school to learn, brush up on the criminal aspect, because there was not much money in it. Not many people were going bankrupt, but they're thinking of opening shop again as a bankruptcy lawyer, because it's going to get so bad. And there's going to be corporations, and all you people out there who your lives revolve around whoever you work for, making you happy with your payments, your salary. I don't know how to put it, but you better figure it out yourself. You're not safe. Anybody who's been affected, any business that's been affected by this plandemic, has a risk of failing. So everything's up in the air right now. Here's something else. All major communication companies, AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, and all the small subsidiaries, they've been reporting for the past week outages. Not just a little bit, major outages. And the outage comes, stays for 3 to 6 hours, and then everything's fine again. The companies are not knowing. They don't know what's going on. They can't figure it out. They send guys out to check the towers and relay stations. Everything's fine. They don't know what's going on. From my viewpoint, It looks like a test. Looks like somebody's testing their ability to access and turn off these systems. And that's a problem. All of these businesses are using cloud services. Again, cloud service means somebody else's hard drive, which you have no control over. So somebody else has your data or has your programs running on their server, and you have no control over that. Well, you might have a little control over that, but you don't have security. You flat don't. If you don't have something in your hands, you have no control over it. It's like money, gold, silver. If you don't have it in your hands, you don't have it. It's that simple. And speaking of cloud storage, in Finland, it's not just Finland. It's in the United States. Well, I'll get to the article itself. But in the United States, the giant push is to put all health records online. All health records. The U.S. government uses Amazon as their cloud service. The Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Defense. Can you believe that? Department of Defense. And all medical, Medicare, what have you, they're using Amazon Cloud. So Finland is using the cloud. So the cloud got hacked, whoever they're using. The specific aspect that got hacked was psychiatric data from therapy patients. And now all of a sudden these therapy patients are being blackmailed. This is why I don't understand in any way, shape, or form the logic behind using somebody else's servers. I don't understand the logic behind using the cloud. Oh, yes. So, okay, I have unlimited storage in the cloud, but I only have a 10 terabyte hard drive. So I'd rather put it on somebody else's hard drive. Okay, you know what you're putting yourself in for, and that's the same thing's happening in the United States. All your information is put on the cloud. And one of those clouds has a feed directly to the National Security Agency in northern Utah. We're screwed if we do, and we're screwed if we don't. Now, the news came out earlier this week that Walmart was removing all guns and ammo from their floor displays because they were concerned about the what's going to happen after the election. And there's going to be riots, and there's going to be disruption, shall we say. But then they came out and realized, well, they don't need to remove them from all the stores, just the stores that are in cities controlled by communists. So they put them back in, like in Idaho. They put them back in Idaho stores. So the guns and ammo are back there. Now, even though they were not being displayed, they were still available. If you walked in and said, hey, I need a Winchester 30-30, you got one? Oh, yeah, sure. I got two in the back. Okay, so they were there. They just pulled them because they didn't want something to happen wrong, so to speak. Now, we're going to get into the Food and Health Department. First thing we're getting into is the Health Department. And I have a warning for you. You think this disease is bad? There is a disease that is so dangerous, it's been classified as the most dangerous disease in the world.
There's a terrible disease going around infecting millions of people. It's highly contagious, creating the worst pandemic the world's ever seen. If we don't act now, it's going to keep spreading, potentially infecting everyone. The disease is a mental condition called intelligence. Intelligence is a very contagious disease spreading around the globe at unprecedented rates. It's threatening to destroy the world as we know it. Symptoms of intelligence include thinking for yourself, elevated levels of self-responsibility, the desire for freedom, acts of bravery, and an intolerance to being controlled by fear. We don't know much about intelligence, how it works, or how it spreads, but there's very strong evidence it's easily transmitted through ideas, self-expression, and human connection. Together, we can slow the spread of intelligence, but we all must practice strict obedience to the following guidelines. Socially distance yourself from critical thought. Sanitize your mind with the news. Rely on other people to tell you what's true for you. And wear a face suffocator to reduce the amount of oxygen going to your brain. Additionally, we'll need to permanently shut down the economy to fight this dangerous infection with the weapons of poverty and despair. We're also working with our partners at the social media giants who are strongly committed to ending intelligence by censoring free speech on their platforms. If you find yourself accidentally thinking for yourself or think you may have come in contact with someone infected with intelligence, please self-quarantine in front of the news for 14 days and seek the medical guidance of your local computer programmer. With this infection, it's also advisable to put your entire trust in the hands of people who, in the past, have been found guilty in antitrust lawsuits, and outsource your entire thinking, well-being, and choices to people who aren't you. It's your social duty to help out and do your part. If we all work together, we can rid the world of intelligence once and for all.
The worst thing about this disease, other than the fact that it's fraudulent and people are dying because the people are dying, not because some strange disease out of Wuhan infected them so bad that it killed them. The worst thing is that the communists in charge of cities, counties, and states in the United States are going full Nazi and ordering all kinds of insanity to be perpetrated on their citizens. Let's take New Mexico, for example.
The governor's newest public health order goes into effect today to combat this rise, with lots of rules for food and drink establishments. One requirement, spot testing of employees.
The governor's office tells me that spot testing will start next week. I wanted to know who's going to get tested and what happens if they refuse.
So we're a little confused about what spot testing means.
Confusion from the New Mexico Restaurant Association on the new public health order.
They have said that they want to be able to come in and spot test any employee that has symptoms, but we're not allowed to have employees on our premises that have symptoms.
The new rules say if a restaurant wants to continue providing indoor dining, it has to consent to spot testing of symptomatic employees. If an employee tests positive, they are immediately sent home. While the Restaurant Association says symptomatic employees aren't allowed to go to work, the Department of Health says this. A spokesperson says, quote, unfortunately, the rate of spread and dramatic increase in statewide rapid responses is a clear indication this is not always happening. I wanted to know, can the state legally force someone to take a COVID test?
Courts have said the governor has pretty extraordinary powers in a public health emergency. So is it legal? I would say yes.
What if an employee refuses to take that test? The governor's office told me this, quote, any employee who does not agree to testing is to be sent home. The Department of Health, with help from the National Guard, says teams will start spot testing next week.
If you think that's bad, Michigan has an insane female communist as a governor. She dreams so much crap up to affect the people with and to try and destroy and subjugate everyone there that she came up with this new plan. She's letting bars open, okay? Except every customer has to give his name and phone number when he comes in, right? So now, anybody who goes in a bar, they're looking also, I think they said casinos, restaurants, they want the name and phone number of the person who's coming in. On another note, there is some research being performed at the Texas A&M University College of Medicine. It's a nasal spray to repair brain cells. I think that if it can ever come to the market, I think all of these communists need to have a double dose to see if they can repair their brain cells so they can start thinking in a coherent and logical manner. Unless this isn't a genetic problem, and it actually is, as I think, just a manner of philosophy. But then I could be wrong. Who knows? Now we're going into the food department. Food, you know, a lot of you haven't seen it yet. You really haven't seen any shortages yet. But I've talked to farmers here, and they're complaining because there's shortage of feed corn for their cattle. This one guy up here north of us, he had to sell 300 head of cows because he can't afford to feed them. They don't just eat hay. These are cattle that he wants to fatten up and sell for food, and he can't get the corn to fatten them up, so he's just selling them off. Well, Japan, now China, is pissing off Japan. China sends its fishing fleets everywhere in the world, illegally going into sovereign waters to fish. Japan is being, they've had over 2,000 in the past year so far, 2,000 Chinese fishermen ships come into their waters. As of last week, Japan has got the okay from their government to start shooting these fishing boats. And I've watched them. Picture a full-auto 20-millimeter cannon. Boom, 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 boom. Or there's no more China fishing boat there. This isn't going to end well. Whole Foods is recalling a bunch of their macaroni and cheese. They sort of forgot to mention that there's egg products in there. That's a problem because there's people out there that can literally die if they eat an egg. It's like peanuts. This is something that I've been noticing now. I get our articles all the time from the FDA's website on recalls and that kind of stuff and warnings. Usually the recalls are at the high end and the warnings are down low. Now it's the other way around. There are so many things that are coming out where people screw up. And this is incompetence. People screw up and forget to add something. Or they screw up and add something and then don't put it on the label. They forget to add something, yet put it on the label. It's like a lot of CBD products you buy online, cannabidiol oil, a lot of CBD products you buy online, literally have no CBD in them. And this has been tested. And then there's products out there that don't list an ingredient like peanuts, and it's in there. And there are people out there all over the world who have, they have allergies to dairy products, they have allergies to peanuts. Well, there's way more to it than that, but the thing is this level of incompetence has gotten so big that it's costing people's lives all over the world. Just, you know, I don't know what did I used to say, and what does the Ice Age farmer say? He says, if you want safe food, you're going to have to grow it yourself. It's that simple. I mean, that's how you save yourself and make sure you eat what you know. Now, remember, we're under the food category right now. California, and this is affecting farmlands in California, 140 miles an hour gusts of air, wind, have been recorded last week. This is tearing the topsoil off. This is tearing, you know, when it rains up in the mountains there, they have plant life that keeps the dirt together. It holds it together so there's less erosion. This kind of wind tears it right in half, just tears it right down. There's some weird weather popping up here, and it's got nothing to do with this so-called global warming or climate change or any of that crap. And man sure as hell doesn't have anything to do with it. An Arctic blast brought minus 29 degrees to Montana, and this cold snow and ice plastered the U.S. last week. We got some snow here. We got winds here. Yesterday, we got 75 mile an hour gusts here in Hayden. You should have seen the Trump flags out front. They're flapping all over the place. Weather affecting a lot of areas in the United States. And we've talked about this, and so is the Ice Age farmer, where he said that this is the solar minimum. This is expected. This is what happens. And I agree with him. There is an article at Investment Watch blog where they talk global food shortages are starting now. This is an investigation organization, and it's they deal in investments, and they predicted, they had a computer program that predicted this would happen in the year 2020, and that it would last 4.3 years. They add in all the ramifications of government interference and stuff like that. There's also a shortage of food building in New York City. I talked about that last week. So they have computer programs that look at food production. A third of the U.S. is facing a drought this year. Not in the summer, in the winter. So there's more data. And again, I'm going to have all of these links on my show notes. This is predicted by pretty much everyone, but this company actually uses scientific evaluation to figure it out. You recall everyone talking about the Rockefeller Foundation's plan to restructure the U.S. food system, right? There's a guy that did a clip on this, and he makes it very, very simple and very understandable for what is going to happen and is happening right now.
I'm James Tracy. The Rockefeller Foundation has been in existence for over 100 years. It was founded in part to burnish the Rockefellers' public image and shield the family's immense wealth from taxation by redirecting it towards what are deemed philanthropic endeavors. This has included bankrolling the University of Chicago, undermining America's public education system through the introduction of progressive social psychological instruction methods. Rockefellers overhauled the country's healthcare protocols, putting it on the path of allopathic medicine dependent on toxic polypharmacy. Now, the Rockefeller Beneficence intends to use the COVID-19 pandemic Act to intervene in the production and distribution of the United States food supply. The Foundation's new initiative is called Reset the Table, Meeting the Moment to Transform the U.S. Food System, and it is presented with no small degree of smiles, flash, and flourish. Yet this is not the first time the Rockefellers have visited our nation's dining tables. In the 1970s, the Rockefeller Foundation initiated the so-called Green Revolution, transforming entire grain species, thereby placing much of America on an empty, calorie-rich diet that has contributed to today's public health scourges of obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and other terminal conditions. But don't take my word for it. Just listen to Devon Clatell, director of the Rockefeller Foundation's Food Initiative.
And, you know, we recognize at Rockefeller that some of the things we did to solve the grand challenge of the last century are intimately connected to the challenges we're facing today, right? Using fertilizers to increase productivity has contaminated soil in lots of places. Using irrigation to grow bigger crops has drained groundwater. Creating a really heavily grain-based R&D industry and sector all around the world has helped to contribute to a current food system which is high on calories but low on nutrition.
Akin to the Green Revolution of a half century ago, the Rockefellers are proposing a radical restructuring of the American food system in order to address what it terms nutrition insecurity. For example, it proposes that bona fide food sources, such as fresh fruits and vegetables, be redefined as medicine, the delivery of which would be managed by the healthcare and insurance industries by way of, quote, food as medicine interventions, fresh food pharmacies, and medically tailored meals and produce prescriptions. Along these lines, the Foundation's technocratic planners propose accelerated integration of food distribution with public education systems, which today are quickly becoming primary enforcers of public health mandates in the areas of mental health and vaccination, not to mention ideologically correct modes of thought and behavior. For example, as the Rockefeller Reset the Table Charter indicates, the plan repeatedly emphasizes politically loaded buzzwords such as sustainability, a common euphemism for austerity and control. And given the degree of evidence now available, one can now all but conclude that the designs to exert greater control over the U.S. food system has required several years of careful preparation, and that the COVID-19 crisis declared by the Rockefeller-sponsored World Health Organization is being used to introduce what will likely be draconian measures on food production and distribution. Indeed, the international food and economic crisis of late have been exacerbated, if not largely caused, by coronavirus lockdown. And to what degree could the manipulation of the Earth's climate and weather hasten the introduction of the new normals? For example, in the summer of 2020, America's Midwestern farming states experienced the most violent, catastrophic, and unusual storm in at least 100 years, and indeed, one that was scarcely reported on by U.S. news media. The weather event wiped out a third of the nation's staple crops, such as corn and soybeans, aggravating the already precarious relationship between agricultural production and human needs. In 2015, John Podesta's Center for American Progress, the World Wildlife Foundation, and food industry giants Cargill and Mars Incorporated sponsored Food Chain Reaction, a, quote, food security game, a simulation and role-playing exercise examining how governments, institutions, and private sector interests will proceed to address a multi-year crisis in the global food system, unquote. The stage was set 5 years in the future, or the year 2020. Much like Event 201, the pandemic exercise held in late 2019, the war game was held to collect and assess the opinions of an array of social engineers. It included mock newscasts alongside scenarios involving the impact of climate change, natural disasters, and economy and finance, all of which were directed towards the purportedly urgent need to restructure food systems in the U.S. and abroad. Food Chain Reaction's website has since been taken down. History teaches that social, economic, and political change emerge from what seem at the time naturally occurring and insurmountable crises. Today, more so than ever, inordinately powerful and unaccountable interests act by way of philanthropic, tax-free foundations and are capable of moving individuals, societies, and governments in directions of their own choosing. Awareness and organized resistance to these designs, made possible via alternative media, are of grave importance as their implementation is now more than ever at hand.
I've talked about the Rockefeller Foundation before. They are the ones that instigated the public school system in the United States. The Rockefeller Foundation has more money than any organization on earth. They call it philanthropic, meaning they do things for the good of others. No, it's all guided towards the concept of one world government with them as part of the elite that rules everyone. And some things are popping up this week. You know, I can see, never mind the election stuff, I can see the other stuff, the pandemic, the diseases, and you've seen, we have struck 90 million sick today. We got 8 million sick yesterday, blah, blah. And you're hearing this from every single state that's controlled by communists. Well, here's the thing. They're using a PCR test, and they're getting more and more PCR tests. Again, the PCR test does not check for COVID-19. It checks for any coronavirus. Any of the 400-plus coronaviruses that a human can be affected with will show up positive in this test. That's why Trump's son, Barron, tested positive, and 15 minutes later, tested negative. It's because the body killed it. Coronavirus popped up. Body said, "How are you doing?" And killed it. And that's how it works with humans. It's like we get 1,000 people who have the disease test positive. One goes to the hospital. The rest drink water and maybe a little whiskey and Dr. Pepper. This is all false data. This is phony statistics. I don't need to go into it. It's all over the place. Every place you go to listen, you hear about this phony stuff. I almost said Schumer. Well, anyway, the Ice Age farmer has been noticing some new things pop up, too, and they're not very humorous.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are two important media narratives to which I'd like to bring your attention today while everyone else is talking about Hunter Biden's laptop, and those are these. First, a public acknowledgement, a disclosure, if you will, of the fact that we're entering global food shortages. And there's a number of headlines indicating global food security is at risk. Countries have started to hoard food. This is being reported widely, and we'll come back to this because I think this audience is quite familiar with the food situation. But the other one is that COVID-19 is no longer a pandemic. That's right. This is breaking. COVID-19 is now being relabeled a syndemic. Here from Mint in India, why COVID-19 is no longer a pandemic. No, we're rewriting it now, the propaganda says, a syndemic of chronic diseases and COVID-19 from the Hindustan Times. From Al Jazeera, world is caught in a syndemic of chronic diseases and COVID. And if you note, these are all in the last few days here from all over the world. Scientists believe that the coronavirus is a syndemic. But what does it even mean? From Reuters, world is caught in a syndemic of chronic diseases and COVID-19, according to a global study. From whom does this global study come? Well, it comes from The Lancet, about whom we've spoken before because of their Eat Lancet Commission and the Planetary Health Diet, which advised that we should be eating vegetables and cockroaches in order to save the planet. Urgent action, according to The Lancet, is needed to address this global syndemic of chronic diseases and social inequalities and COVID-19 to ensure robust health systems and healthier people. World is caught in a syndemic of chronic diseases and COVID-19, according to Yahoo. Let's read a little bit about what the heck they're actually saying in these clearly propaganda pieces, because you can see that the talking points have gone out. The Eat Lancet new report on the syndemic involving COVID-19 and diets and climate change and obesity has been pushed out, and you see around the world different media, different demographics targeted. They're all parroting the talking points in the CIA Mockingbird media about a syndemic. What is it? Let's read from them first, and then we'll talk about it in a nutshell. The emergence and overlap of the coronavirus pandemic with a continued global rise in chronic conditions such as obesity and diabetes. Note that both of these are directly related to one's diet. With added environmental risks such as air pollution, the appeal to climate change, have exacerbated the coronavirus death toll. In fact, quote, COVID-19 is an acute on chronic health emergency. We have some chronic lingering, festering situations that we really need to solve anyway. Everything about the world we don't like, we want a new world order. But now we've got this acute situation, COVID-19, which is really, we're going to use it as the trigger for our great reset, the great transformation of society that we've been building up to for some time now. And the syndemic is a term that we're introducing that allows us to just glob it all together. The entire New World Order agenda of globalism and centralization of control and total surveillance all ties together in this one agenda now. And because we're calling it a syndemic, it means we can just link whatever we want to it. This no longer has anything to do with health. This no longer has anything to do with the virus. And it certainly won't end if there's some theoretical vaccine in the near future. This is a great reset. It is an all-encompassing transformation of society. And now it's made clear through the use of this term syndemic. The syndemic nature, quote, of the threat we face demands that we not only treat the afflictions, but we urgently address the underlying social inequalities that have shaped them. The Lancet has been talking about the global syndemic. This is from January of 2019, a year before the COVID outbreak. The global syndemic of obesity, undernutrition, and climate change. The Lancet has long been working to make the case that food was part of the agenda that needed to be controlled here. In fact, when you look at their introduction to the Eat Lancet Commission's summary report, right there they tell you, quote, food is the single strongest lever to optimize human health on the one hand and environmental sustainability on the other. And now, lo and behold, why is this such an insightful statement? Because the two crises in 2020 that we have facing humanity, global problems require global solutions, right? We know all the Klaus Schwab terminology is a combination, a conflation now, a syndemic of climate change and then an outbreak, environmental sustainability and human health. And they're telling you the one single strongest lever we have to pull to solve these two crises is what you eat. And we're going to take control of that. Now we have to save the earth. Looking more deeply into what the Eat Lancet Commission calls the Great Food Transformation. This is, again, this predates COVID-19 altogether. And I actually appreciate that they call it transformation instead of reset, because it tells you it's not a reset. It's not going back to traditional methods or to the way things were before. No, no. This is the new normal. This is a transformation, a changing of shape of everything you know about food, much like the Rockefeller Foundation called it, a fundamental transformation of the food supply. Eat Lancet goes on to say that civilization, quote, is in crisis. We can no longer feed our population a healthy diet while balancing planetary resources. They like to say that we all need to be able to eat within planetary boundaries. Okay, so the Lancet report has been focused on diet for a long time, and they even call it the diet that we'll need to eat now in the new Anthropocene, the era of man-made climate change. So they are solidly left. They're on that global warming alarmist narrative here, and they've been building from that foundation. But now that we have a syndemic, we can just transplant all that agenda onto this new language here and push it through, given the planetary emergency of crisis and the syndemic. And you see that this is all, this literally, the word syndemic is the glue that makes all of these agendas stick together. While we call it climate tracing and contact tracing and watch your sewage and all of these things, because we've got to monitor your diet so that we avoid future pandemics. The Lancet report did make it clear. Here's the chair of EAT saying, quote, this is only a starting point, this planetary health diet. It's just a starting point for really large scale change, for the fundamental transformation, which, of course, is urgent. Let's talk more about how they're linking these things together. From Fast Company, forget COVID-19. We have doctors now worrying about COVID-20, the COVID-19 syndemic. So you can see this has nothing to do with health whatsoever. The social inequalities, the poverty. Quote, COVID-20 is a large-scale crisis opportunity that is deeply enmeshed in social and environmental factors. Simply containing and mitigating a virus, that's no longer an option. No, 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 we're talking about something different here. It's not even likely that a vaccine is going to be enough. What we need now, according to them, is a social vaccine. What the hell is a social vaccine? Well, we read into this. Lancet writes, by a social vaccine, we mean a metaphor designed to shift beyond biomedical orientation of the health sector and onto the parts of the agenda we want to push now, namely social equality and social justice and universal basic income. You can read it down here. There's four foundational requirements. Number one, a life with security demands a universal system to ensure employment and shelter. That's UBI, universal basic income, progressive taxation, international treaties to ensure security, globalism, opportunities that are fair. Number two includes universal free education, protection against discrimination, environments that enable healthy choices. Number three, a planet that is habitable requires a zero carbon future. This ties back to Walmart decarbonizing their supply chains, demanding that farming and ranching be put out of business because it's dirty, antiquated, and disease ridden and full of carbon, which is bad for the environment. And instead, we're going to heavily fund now insect farms that are zero carbon and will feed the earth from bugs. And finally, number four, governance that is just means a universal franchise, robust political accountability. Yeah, sure. That's what globalists always want, right? Central communist governments are always highly accountable. They continue on, quote, a global social vaccine will enable a new way of living, a new world indeed that is healthy, just, convivial, and sustainable, I bet. It will inoculate future society against a return to a world growing less healthy, less sustainable, and less equal. So we read from the Lancet report themselves, we're not talking about COVID-19 or even a virus at this point. We're talking about the Great Reset, the resetting of the table, transforming fundamentally the food supply around the entire world, not just in the US, but it is the same language you'll note as we notice here in the Rockefeller Foundation's Reset the Table report, where they talk about achieving a shift to an equitable system by directing funding with priority to Black, Indigenous, and people of color. That's not equal opportunity. This is systemic racism encoded in the Great Reset. Let's just leave it there because all of this is madness. It's complete madness. The second shift that's happening in the mainstream media right now is that they are surfacing the fact we're headed into global food insecurity. So it just happens that these two things are happening at once. One, the agenda that describes why and how we're going to reset the global food supply. And then two, oh yeah, we happen to be having food shortages, right? Which just underscores the need. You have to create the crisis, engineer these food shortages to then turn around and demand from the people the solution that you want. Problem, reaction, solution. So here is the problem now, and it's a real problem. We've been talking about it for years, but now it's been surfaced and it's quite acute and it's in your face. Update, corn and soy stocks are falling as exports continue to rise. U.S. is shipping at record paces corn and soy to China, even in the face of headlines like this from Bloomberg. U.S. crop report signals worsening global food security situation. Quote, world soybean stockpiles will be smaller than expected, growing competition over the global wheat shipments and highlighting dry weather as a threat to crops in part of South America and Europe. Because we're already having shortages of corn and soy, so there's now countries are competing to get what remains of the wheat. And as this indicates, eyes are now on South America to see, because that's the number three producer of corn. So now all eyes on Brazil, where, yes, lo and behold, they're having drought conditions that have been preventing farmers from planting. In fact, just this previous week, they kind of gave up and said, well, we either plant now or we lose the chance. So they planted into extremely dry soil and are just hoping that they get some rain. Here is that piece. Brazilian farmers proceeding with their corn and soybean plantings at this point, despite the extremely dry seedbed, just in the hopes. It's a Hail Mary. Hopes that the whole thing turns around. 31% of the summer corn is now in the ground, which is on the average, but most of it has no water. It has no moisture. It will not germinate. So eyes on Brazil. But given that, prices continue to soar right now. Countries are rushing to hoard food. This is at the international level. We're not talking about like you and Joe down the street trying to get the last can of corn, which is also short right now, as I mentioned in the previous report from the store. We're now talking about countries trying to secure a year's worth of grains, and it's getting out of hand. So we read down here, agricultural commodity buyers from Cairo to Islamabad have been on a shopping spree since the COVID-19 pandemic upended supply chains. Jordan has built up a record wheat reserve. Egypt, the top buyer, has now tapped international markets even during its harvest and purchased more than 50% of normal purchases since April. Hand over fist, give me all the food you can right now. Everyone, except for the U.S., who's selling it off at record levels, is trying to make sure that they'll be able to feed their their people. Taiwan boosting strategic food stockpiles, buying like crazy. This all underscores how nations are trying to protect themselves on concerns that the coronavirus, at which we just point and blame everything, will disrupt port operations and wreak havoc on global trade. The pandemic has already upset domestic farm-to-fork supply chains. Now it's getting worse. COVID-19 has forced consumers to shift from just-in-time inventory management to just-in-case inventory management. And that means buy everything you can. The result is consumers are holding more inventory as a precaution against future supply disruptions, which would seem to be wise, given the way that the world players are handling the situation, stockpiling food themselves, right? If they're doing it, you better believe so should we. Brazil just dropped all tariffs on corn and soy meal purchases in an effort to keep their own food prices down. Quote, Brazil will suspend tariffs on corn and soy imports from countries outside the trade bloc until early next year to help reduce food prices. Don't even worry about the taxes. Just give us the food. When do you hear governments say, forget the tax revenue? You know the situation has gotten to a bad crescendo here, and that's where we are now. We're at a world food crisis. Just as the scripts that was written by the billionaires, Soros and John Podesta at the food chain reaction game, there'll be a world food crisis after a pandemic. The actions of nationalists trying to purchase food for their own country will exacerbate it. This is the script. Welcome to it. You're in it. We're going to have food shortages next. They're going to use that to institute a carbon tax and even more control and global governance. This is all straight from the food chain reaction game simulation.
All right, now we're getting into the liberal psychosis, and this is about the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, violence, and fear. Earlier in the week, the Philadelphia Police Department responded to a man in the street with a weapon. And they show up, and here's this black guy with a knife. So they order him to put it down. He says no, and tries to attack them. Well, he gets shot. Surprise, surprise. And, of course, the subhumanoid creatures in the local area decided to take it upon themselves to immediately start rioting and looting. And because Philadelphia is run by a communist, the communists sat there, wringing their hands, going, oh, my, what do I do now? That night, over 30 police were hurt. The next night is when the semi-humanoid creatures brought out the guns. Over 30 people were shot. Not the police. They were shooting each other. Because as they were looting, one creature wanted this pair of Adidas, and the other creature wanted the same pair. So they shot each other. That's insane. But then again, that's what you have when the area is controlled by a communist mayor. And then on another, and I don't want to make light of this thing, but one of these misunderstood inner city youths ran up to a guy's car to steal it and pointed a rifle at him. The guy didn't hesitate, pulled out a pistol and killed him. Well, the rifle the guy was pointing at him, his name was John Patrick Abell, wasn't even loaded. But what are you going to think for a second? Say, I wonder if that rifle that guy's pointing at me isn't loaded. So, theoretically, he's going to get off on it and not have to worry about it. This is the stupid stuff that's happening in areas that are controlled by communists. Speaking of commie, Shepard Smith, who used to be on Fox News, he is an avid Trump hater. He hates, as a matter of fact, anything that has to do with the Republicans or conservatism. Well, so he quit Fox News amongst a lot of hoofra and noise and went on to CNBC, and it's called The News with Shepard Smith, and it premiered on September 30th. The first week, he had an average of about 343,000 viewers. This is done by the Nielsen ratings. What Nielsen ratings are, now I don't know what they do it, how they do it now, but I was part of them, and they actually gave us a control box that sat on top of our television. And we would change the TV with a remote control that worked through that control box. So whatever channel we went to, they actually kept statistics. It was kind of cool. And since then, his viewership, whatever word you want to use, is losing about 50,000 a week. So this is another one of those Fox News pretend to be conservatives that quit and go on to another communist network and proves that people were watching Fox simply because they thought they were conservative there, and they're not. I was told this this week. A guy comes in and he goes, "You know, I'm from Seattle, and that blue line, that thin blue line flag that you have out front, the American flag that's blue with a blue line, everyone's being told that it's a Black Lives Matter hate symbol. So if you fly that, you're saying you hate Black Lives Matter." And I said, "Well, good. Maybe I should put up two then." I warned you about this. Black Lives Matter is now being indoctrinated into your school. And yeah, I have people here, they call me up, they come in here, they say, no, we don't have any of that racist crap in my school. My school doesn't do that. We don't believe in that. I'm sorry, every single school in the United States, if you have teachers that are part of the National Education Association, if you have teachers that are union in any way, shape, or form, if you have teachers that are Democrats, they are teaching this Marxist-based ideology. They are being taught in every single school in the United States. I don't care if it's a Catholic school. I don't care if it's a charter school or public school. BLM has 13 guiding principles, which is hard to say because the founders of BLM are three lesbians. But there are 13 guiding principles. Number one, restorative justice. We intentionally build and nurture a beloved community that is bonded together through a beautiful struggle. Diversity. We acknowledge, respect, and celebrate differences and commonalities. Empathy. We practice empathy. We engage comrades with the intent to learn and connect with their context. Loving engagement. We embody and practice justice, liberation, and peace. Queer affirming. This is 13 principles of Black Lives Matter being taught in public schools in the United States. We foster a queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. Transgender-affirming. We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift Black trans folk. Unapologetically Black. We are unapologetically Black in our positioning. Black women. We build a space that affirms Black women and is free from sexism, misogyny, environments in which men are centered. Black families. We make our spaces family-friendly and enable parents to fully participate with their children. We dismantle the patriarchal practice that requires mothers to work double shifts so that they can mother in private even as they participate in public. Black villages. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family by supporting each other as extended families and villages. Globalism. I don't need to go into that. Intergenerational. We cultivate an intergenerational and communal network free from ageism. Collective value. We are guided by the fact that all Black lives matter, regardless of actual or perceived sexual identity, gender expression, economic status, ability, disability, religious beliefs or disbeliefs, immigration status or location. So in other words, they're promoting pure communism and sexual perversion. How many of you people out there have your child in a public school? They start them in the elementary school. They go through middle school and high school, and they indoctrinate them all the way up. And I have a page for this where it can all be explained to you so you can learn as well as your child. Drudge Report. Now, I've talked about Drudge Report. Drudge Report used to be a conservative website, and they've been bought out and now are controlled 100% by the Communist Chinese Party. You ought to go on there, drudgereport.com. Just go on there and read any day, especially before the election, and you will see so much crap and attacking Trump, any conservatives, anything American. It's astounding how vivid it's become on Drudge Report. They've lost... Since September, they lost 45% of their readership, and their income basically is from the ads that they have at the top of the page. And I can tell you right now, I had an ad there beginning of the year, and I got zero response, and those ads aren't cheap. All right, now we're going to get into government threat. China, as we all know, hates Christians, but because there's so many Christians there, they decided to let them stay, but here's how they're going to do it. The Communist Chinese government is rewriting the Bible. Believe me, if you read any parts of it, you would look at it and say, what the hell is this? What is this? It's almost as insane as reading the Quran. It is just as insane as that. But this is what China's doing. And of course, according to Biden, China is our friend. Texas is going full Nazi now as well. Texas police are ordering people into quarantine. You know, I got a friend that lives in Texas, and he tells me, oh, no, everything's fine down here. It's, well, I don't know. I'm not seeing anything pop up in the news that says everything's fine in Texas. All I'm seeing is that police show up at El Paso residents' doorsteps, and they're ordering people to quarantine in El Paso. Well, you've been tracked. You're part of the tracking thing here, and it shows that you were around somebody who coughed twice. So now you're ordered to stay home for 14 days, and the police are stepping up and going to these houses and ordering them to do this. You know, I've told you this. We have no friends in law enforcement. We have no friends in the military. Now, that's just an overall generalization, because I know we do. But the problem is this. Law enforcement in the United States are nothing more than hired thugs. That's what they're hired by the local political organization, and that could be the city, the county, or the state. They'll do whatever they're told. If their boss gives them a list of 5 laws that would just pass by the city council, they could care less if they were constitutional or not. They would enforce them, because that's how they make their money. And the police make money. That's what they're for. The aspect of crime, you know, let's go solve a crime. Well, they do that because they're going to make money one way or the other. The court system's going to make money. The jail system's going to make money. So they get a commission. And this is oversimplification, but the thing is that all law enforcement's the same way. So they'll do whatever they're told to do. And the military, same thing. They're hired thugs. They'll do what they're told to do. We haven't, quote unquote, protected America for 100 years now. It's always going into a foreign nation and killing them before they can kill us. That's the concept, right? That's their idea of the bosses. But right now in the United States, you're going to see law enforcement performing so many draconian, illegal, criminal actions, it'll blow your mind. And here they will all use what's known as the Nuremberg defense. At the end of World War II, the surviving Nazi leaders were all taken to a city called Nuremberg. And at Nuremberg, they were tried for their crimes. Every single one said the same thing, and what they said has become known as the Nuremberg defense. They said, I was only doing my job. I was only doing what I was told to do. I was only doing my job. So these police that perform these illegal criminal actions that violate the Constitution of the United States, their defense is always, I'm only doing my job. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm only doing my job. Well, the messengers are going to start getting shot. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. If they're so willing to stomp on people's rights, then they damn well better be willing to take the repercussions that they're going to pull into themselves. Now, most of you aren't going to remember this, but in 2014, I played a clip by a guy named Harry Vox, V-O-X. He was talking about some data he pulled up from something that occurred in 2010, 10 years ago. And he was prophesizing today. He didn't know this.
The ruling establishment has a lot of, they will stop at nothing to complete their toolkit of control, right? So one of the things that has been missing from the toolkit of total control has been quarantines and curfews, right? Mm-hmm. So now, welcome to the new world in America, where to get on a bus, to go through a subway station, if you think that the procedures at the TSA are onerous, right? Guess this is coming to a bus depot near you. It's a more invasive way. And the ruling class needs this, because if the ruling class ever saw wide-scale civil unrest, you'd see an Ebola outbreak in America.
What you see is that Ebola is
another tool in the toolbox of the ruling
of
class control.
Yeah, to keep down
absolutely
repression.
Positively 100%. This is a tool.
Right.
Ebola doesn't just magically start spreading, and then we have this doctors that come back here. The white people, of course, live. Right. It's very possible that one of these NGOs over there is going around with a veil of Ebola or spreading it from a small plane onto villages. The The point is to get hundreds of thousands of people infected with it and create the next phase of control. Now, one of the things I'd like to show to back up my my claims here, here's a document from the Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller Foundation right there. You can zoom in on that where my finger is. It's called Scenarios for the Future International Development, the Rockefeller Foundation. Let's take a look at what they're saying here. This is something like a 50, 60-page document. I'd like you to go to page 18 if you can look at this up on the internet, but I'll read it off to you. It's called lockstep, lockstep. And this is a phrase that I used right after 2001 when I saw the entire system of the United States, including the population, were in lockstep. So the Congress went along, and yes, it was Osama bin Laden, and the people waved their flag and said, I hate, 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 and everything was in lockstep. Well, in 2010, they published this, Rockefeller Foundation, and here's what they're saying. They call it a scenario. These are scenario narratives, and they speak about it in the past tense. So they put out this scenario, lockstep. A world of tighter, top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Okay, I'll read a little bit of it. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years, nobody was anticipating a pandemic, finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese, they use some scenario, but this is Ebola they're talking about. Ahead. Even the most pandemic-prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies. You can see the agenda, just naked, raw, naked control agenda written down, and it's anybody's guess how this becomes effectuated in real life. So whether this is written specifically as marching orders or whether people take it upon themselves in the intelligence networks to say, okay, well, this has been produced, so this is the plan here. But these narratives have to be written in advance because the intelligence agencies don't know how to do this, these narratives. They need help. So these think tanks, they come up with these like Rand Corporation, Rockefeller Foundation. These are think tanks of death. They're not the think tanks. They're not there to find great ways to help people. Okay, the pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, right? Which is what they want. They want a completely isolated world, right? Debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Well, of course they want tourism stopped because they're not in the tourism business. And they want you at home, in your house, in front of the TV. Then they got you because once you watch the TV, they own your soul. Even locally...
Wait a second. We're on television.
I mean commercial television, let's say. National. Yeah. Even locally, normally bustling shops and offices sat empty for months. Okay, so I love how they talk about it in the past tense in 2010. The pandemic blanketed the planet, though disproportionate numbers in Africa died, Southeast Asia, and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire.
It sounds like the opening monologue of a disaster movie, right?
Exactly. Now listen, here's the good stuff now. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. Now here's this one. I love this one. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging, in quotation marks, strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency. So they're saying that...
No, keep going. Okay, read it.
Proved deadly in its leniency. So they should have been tougher, right? Accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the United States, but across borders. However, a few countries did fare better. China, in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of virus far earlier than in other countries. So the message is here is we have to look towards the Chinese, the oppressive totalitarian Chinese regime, as an example of what we need to be doing here. And of course, the ruling class here loves the Chinese regime because they have demonstrated to the ruling class the most efficient different form of capitalism, which is authoritarian capitalism. So we have capitalism, but unfortunately we have this veil of democracy.
This is very interesting. This is continue on.
Okay. China's government was not the only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their muscles, flexed their authority, and imposed airtight rules and restrictions. You can see the agenda.
Okay, no, go.
Okay. From the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like but soon it's going to be like body, you know.
It'll be at the subway?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? We'll be going through this in the subway to get on the buses and the subway?
Absolutely.
Things
positively.
Like that.
And what this means, though, is, don't think about having a cigarette, a joint on you, basically, this is a dragnet for everything. So if in order for you...
Oh, in other words, just like with stop and frisk, this is ultimate stop and frisk.
Cavity search kind of thing. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flex their authority. You know, there's some good stuff. And even supermarkets, they want body checks at supermarkets. Okay, so basically what they're saying is they're building a system where every move you make,
you've got to
go through them.
Can't get food. If you go to the farmer's market? Right.
Here's the good stuff now. I mean, it just keeps getting better. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck and even intensified. That's the whole point. So they're going to get rid of...
Didn't that happen already with 9/11?
Of course.
9/11 was how many, 14 years ago? And we still have all these draconian rules.
So they're going to put the body cavity
USA
searches
Patriot
in.
USA Patriot and
that's
all
right. So in order to get to a supermarket, you got to have a body cavity search. And then when there's no more Ebola, you know what? We kind of like this way because we have an incomplete infrastructure of a control grid. In order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and national terrorism to environmental crisis and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. What the hell would rising poverty have anything to do with imposing strict citizen controls with face masks? So they're very sloppy stuff here. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. I'm sorry, nobody likes this stuff. I have to provide analysis.
We only have 5 minutes left, so that's...
Oh my God, okay. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. I mean, that's just a complete naked contradiction to the famous saying that if you think you're going to give up a little bit of security, I mean, if you're going to give up your freedom for security, you're going to get neither. That's the long-standing thing. And here what they're doing is they're not even ashamed or embarrassed to absolutely say the exact opposite. They're saying, yes, we all want to give up our privacy and sovereignty for more stability and security and stability. So you don't get that. When you give it up like that, you get the shaft.
Can you show us the cover again of what you were just reading?
One more time, and then I have two more documents. Now, I have two more documents. Keep it zoomed. We have the National Security Memorandum of December 10th, 1974. This is Henry Kissinger's brainchild. The National Security Memorandum number 200. You can look that up on your internet. I'll summarize it. He says that there's too many people. We got to get rid of the population. So to answer your question.
Oh, from earlier.
Yeah, he says he used the word depopulation, which is different. Depopulation means killing people that already exist, and it's to get the minerals, because we need the minerals. And here's another one. The CDC has a patent on Ebola. They patented it.
Yeah? Right.
So basically, if you want to get a cure for your Ebola, it's a patent. They patented the main strain plus something like 17 other strains of it. So they own it now, and I don't know how exactly you can own that, but apparently they've done the same thing.
Yeah, I didn't think you could own a natural...
Yeah, you can. I guess the main thing to finish off this show is this, that they want to get more control, and it's going to be curfews and quarantine. So what I'm saying is that unless the American people start to get some new way to revolt, a new way to organize, new way to protest, unless we can break through the apathy, because that's what we have here, then it's going to be a slave state here. The ruling class doesn't seem to have too much resistance. They're getting everything on their Christmas shopping list. And they've been wanting quarantines and curfews for a long time. Now they got it. And if you want to live in a world where you're tricked into all this stuff because it's for your safety, right? And if you want to have have a probe and make sure you got to check your pockets, make sure you don't have anything incriminating on you before you go out. And when you step out of your house, you want some police there to monitor and see what you're doing. If that's the world you want to live in, be apathetic. Don't do anything. You're going to get that world very soon. It's coming your way. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So what should people do? What's the hope? You have 30 seconds.
To wake up, learn about it, and go fight these bastards in Washington. They're easy to beat. If we can just organize, we can beat them. It's simple. They're weak, and there's so few of them.
All right, now we're getting into the category of Trump. Surprise, surprise, the New York Post just came out and endorsed Trump. That's astounding to me. But the New York Post came out and endorsed Trump. Oh, there's all so many different people and organizations that have announced that they're endorsing President Trump for re-election, because they actually look at the statistics and they actually look at what he's accomplished. You know, what is Biden has been in quote-unquote public service for 47 years, and Trump has done more than he's done in 46 months. So the big CEOs, Facebook, Google, Twitter, they're basically doing everything they can to stifle public discourse and release of information they don't want anyone to know. See, the thing is, all of these guys, every single one of them, are communists. All of them are. They're elitist communists, and they think that they should rule the world, and they are so much better equipped to control and make us better people that the Senate has finally got pissed off and said, listen, we're going to have a little talk with you guys. We're going to explain some things to you, and then we're going to be working on changing some rules to where you no longer have carte blanche freedom to do whatever you want. Well, I listened to the whole hearing this week, the Senate hearing with these CEOs, these big tech CEOs, and one piece of it, the part where Senator Cruz was talking to this guy, Jack Dempsey, I think is his name, the guy, he's head of Twitter, and it's on a video call, okay? So he's visible. You can see him. This guy looks like an actor from Saturday Night Live. He was so high, his eyes were pinpoints. His pupils were pinpoints. But Cruz didn't let that stop him.
The three witnesses we have before this committee today collectively pose, I believe, the single greatest threat to free speech in America and the greatest threat we have to free and fair elections. Yesterday, I spent a considerable amount of time speaking with both Mr. Zuckerberg and Mr. Pichai. I have concerns about the behavior of both of their companies. I would note that Facebook is at the minimum at least trying to make some efforts in the direction of defending free speech. I appreciate their doing so. Google, I agree with the concerns that Senator Klobuchar raised. I think Google has more power than any company on the face of the planet. And the antitrust concerns are real. The impact of Google is profound. And I expect we will have continued and ongoing discussions about Google's abuse of that power and its willingness to manipulate search outcomes to influence and change election results. But today, I want to focus my questioning on Mr. Dorsey and on Twitter. Because of the three players before us, I think Twitter's conduct has by far been the most egregious. Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
You don't believe Twitter has any ability to influence elections?
No, we are one part of a broad spectrum of communication channels that people have.
So you're testifying to this committee right now that Twitter, when it silences people, when it censors people, when it blocks political speech, that has no impact on elections?
People have choice of other communication channels with which...
Not if they don't hear information. If you don't think you have the power to influence elections, why do you block anything?
Well, we have policies that are focused on making sure that more voices on the platform are possible. We see a lot of abuse and harassment, which ends up silencing people and having them leave from the platform.
All right, Mr. Dorsey, I find your opening questions, your opening answers absurd on their face. But let's talk about the last 2 weeks in particular. As you know, I have long been concerned about Twitter's pattern of censoring and silencing individual Americans with whom Twitter disagrees. But 2 weeks ago, Twitter and to a lesser extent Facebook crossed a threshold that is fundamental in our country. 2 weeks ago, Twitter made the unilateral decision to censor the New York Post in a series of two blockbuster articles, both alleging evidence of corruption against Joe Biden, the first concerning Ukraine, the second concerning communist China. And Twitter made the decision, number one, to prevent users, any user, from sharing those stories. And number two, you went even further and blocked the New York Post from sharing on Twitter its own reporting. Why did Twitter make the decision to censor the New York Post?
We had a hack materials policy.
When was that policy adopted?
In 2018, I believe.
In 2018. Go ahead. What was the policy?
So the policy is around limiting the spread of materials that are hacked. We didn't want Twitter to be a distributor for hacked materials. We found that the New York Post, because it showed the direct materials, screenshots of the direct materials, and it was unclear how those were attained, that it fell under this policy.
So in your view, if it's unclear the source of a document, and in this instance, the New York Post documented what it said the source was, which it said it was a laptop owned by Hunter Biden that had been turned into a repair store. So they weren't hiding what they claimed to be the source. Is it your position that Twitter, when you can't tell the source, blocks press stories?
No, not at all. Our team made a fast decision. The enforcement action, however, of blocking URLs, both in tweets and in DM, in direct messages, we believe was incorrect. And we changed it.
Today, right now, the New York Post is still blocked from tweeting 2 weeks later.
Yes, they have to log into their account, which they can do at this minute, delete the original tweet, which fell under our original enforcement actions, and they can tweet the exact same material from the exact same article, and it would go through.
So, Mr. Dorsey, your ability is you have the power to force a media outlet. Let's be clear. The New York Post isn't just some random guy tweeting. The New York Post has the fourth highest circulation of any newspaper in America. The New York Post is over 200 years old. The New York Post was founded by Alexander Hamilton. And your position is that you can sit in Silicon Valley and demand of the media that you can tell them what stories they can publish, and you can tell the American people what reporting they can hear. Is that right?
No, this was a, you know, every person, every account, every organization that signs up to Twitter agrees to a terms of service. Terms of service.
So media outlets must genuflect and obey your dictates if they wish to be able to communicate with readers. Is that right?
No, not at all. We recognize an error in this policy, and specifically the enforcement.
You're still blocking their posts. You're still blocking their posts. Right now, today, you're blocking their posts.
We're not blocking the posts. Anyone can tweet.
Can the New York Post post on their Twitter account?
If they go into their account.
No is your answer to that. No. Unless they genuflect and agree with your dictates. Let me ask you something. You claimed it was because of a hacked materials policy. I find that facially highly dubious and clearly employed in a deeply partial way. Did Twitter block the distribution of the New York Times' story a few weeks ago that purported to be based on copies of President Trump's tax returns?
We didn't find that a violation of our terms of service and this policy in particular, because it was reporting about the material. It wasn't distributing the material.
Okay, well, that's actually not true. They posted what they purported to be original source materials, and federal law, federal statute makes it a crime, a federal felony, to distribute someone's tax returns against their knowledge. So that material was based on something that was distributed in violation of federal law, and yet Twitter gleefully allowed people to circulate that. But when the article was critical of Joe Biden, Twitter engaged in rampant censorship and silencing.
And again, we recognized errors in that policy. We changed it within 24 hours. This is.
But you're still blocking the New York Post. You haven't changed it.
We have changed it. They can log into their account, delete the original tweet.
You forced a Politico reporter to take down his post about the New York Post as well. Is that correct?
Within that 24-hour period, yes. But we, as the policy has changed, anyone can tweet.
So Twitter takes the view you can censor the New York Post, you can censor Politico, presumably you can censor the New York Times or any other media outlet. Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing views to the contrary of your political beliefs?
The main thing everybody's upset about is the fact that all the big tech CEOs, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google all blocked the news article from the New York Post about Hunter Biden and his laptop. So Cruz got really upset about this. Now, right after Dorsey talked to him, right after they talked, Cruz went and tried to post it again. He literally tried to post the article. Now, Jack lied and said nobody's editing that. Anybody can tweet these articles. It doesn't matter. Immediately, Cruz tried to post it, and he come back and he posted on Twitter what Jack told the Senate under oath is false. I just tried to tweet the New York Post story, and it's still blocked. It will not allow it. 18 U.S.C. 1621 makes it a felony to lie under oath to the Senate. So he could be charged perjuring himself. In listening to the charges, basically, being read against the big tech CEOs, specifically Twitter, one of the Republicans on the committee asked them, do you censor the president? And all of them said, no, we don't. And she said, well, I have 69 episodes here of times that you censored the president. And you know what was funny? Because it is funny. Democrats are funny. Every Democrat on the committee, they didn't ask questions. All they did was tell the world how bad the Republicans are and how they're fishing again and how they're just creating another smear attack on Biden, while the Republicans ask very specific questions. As a matter of fact, the Customs and Border Protection, CBP, the acting head of Customs and Border Protection, Twitter locked him out of his own account after he posted a tweet in support of the wall at the southern border. He didn't say anything nasty. And then Dorsey comes out and he says, no, it was an accident, and we fixed it and everything. It's all lie. They lie. They lie, and they know it, and everybody else knows it. These people have set themselves up for a massive fall. In fact, one of them, actually, he's probably going to lose a lot of money on this. This is another big tech CEO. He has 10 million customers. 10 million customers. It's a California software company. The guy's name is David Barrett. The company is called Expensify. It creates and maintains software for businesses to track their expenditures. So he sent an email out to all 10 million of his customers saying a vote for Trump is a vote against democracy. Are there any of you out there customers of this yokel? Let him know what you think about it. If you think it's right, well, let him know. I have the latest ads, by the way, the campaign ads from both the Biden camp and the Trump camp. I'm going to play the Biden one first, and basically you can see in your mind this picture of this mother driving her young daughter somewhere.
Listen, everything's going to be okay, right? Just let me do the talking, okay?
Evening, ladies. License, please. Where are you headed?
We're just out for a drive.
Headed to the border?
Oh, no. We were just going up to the...
Hey there. What's your name?
Grace.
Are you pregnant, Grace? Step out of the vehicle.
She does not have to.
Yes, she does.
No.
Show me your hands on the wheels, please. Grace, step out of the vehicle. On the wheel.
Grace, it's okay.
See, what the Democrats are trying to tell you is that this is what's going to happen if the Republicans gain power again. And this is Trump's latest ad.
Here's how you can spot a zombie. Look for someone who has a corpse-like appearance, exhibits aggressive behavior, craves human flesh, and utters incoherent moans and groans.
I don't know.
With your help, we can prevent the zombie uprising.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
See, that's the difference. The Democrats are all so somber and threatening. The Republicans got to push Grandma off the hill if they get elected again, you know. There is so many warnings out there. There are undercover agents that have been infiltrating into different organizations in the United States. These are all sedition. This is sedition. This is the attempt to overthrow a legitimate government. This is not an attempt to elect a legitimate government. This is an attempt to overthrow one. There are plans to, quote unquote, ignite a revolution after the election. There are also, and this is an article that I saw that disgusted me because the organization actually put it up. And it's called Thomson Reuters Foundation News. Trust.org. Americans, dig this, Americans, they use the word Americans, plan widespread protests if Trump interferes with election. What is the definition of Trump interfering with election? That means Trump won. So because the media has convinced all of the communists in the United States that there's no way in hell Trump could win because he's so bad and awful, and Biden is just a shoo-in, if it shows that Trump actually won, they're going to contest that and claim that they're going to have to protect the results. It's actually a coalition of over 130 groups, from Planned Parenthood to a phony organization called Republicans for the Rule of Law. I mean, that's BS. They're going to protest the results. The organizations that make this up are everything disgusting in the United States. This is a big thing. And when you add that to what I just talked about, how there are agents out there warning people that there's going to be post-election plans to ignite revolution, to this these organizations that are going to disrupt everything that's happening, to organizations that plan to storm D.C. They intend to storm the White House because Trump, according to Pelosi and the other communists in charge, Trump is not going to give up. Trump is going to stay. He's going to contest the election, blah, 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 blah. You've heard all of it. And it all comes from these evil creatures. We'll just call them Democrats. And they intend to storm D.C. You know, the D.C. District of Columbia allows people to go on National Mall and to go there and have rallies and protests and things like that. This time's going to be a little bit different because they've been emboldened. The communists in the United States have been emboldened because they get away with murder. And I mean that seriously. They get away with murder. They get away with rape. They get away with robbery. They get away with all forms of crime because they perform them in areas that are controlled by communists. District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., is controlled by communists. It is the mayor of D.C. is a female racist black woman. She's a communist who hates Republicans and detests Trump. She'll allow these people to come in. She'll allow them to do what they want to do. Now, I have been told and I have seen numerous pictures on Twitter and in certain areas of the dark web of vans that have been loaded with weapons, loaded with explosives, incendiary devices, signs, and these vans are being positioned all throughout the United States. So, warning for you guys: if you see a van, and it's not like a normal van like we're used to, right? These are the tall white vans. They're not going to have a license plate on them, or if they do, it's a stolen plate. They're going to have limo tinted windows, so you can't see in. There's going to be no markings on them. You won't know whose they are, but they're going to be parked somewhere, and they're going to be sitting there for days. These things have incendiary devices in them, they have weapons in them, they have clubs, they have everything needed for the communists to start warfare. One van was discovered in Philadelphia, and it was piled with propane tanks. Now, they said it could be dynamite sticks also, but no, I don't think they were. I think they were flares. I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but there's a way to put a time device on using a flare on a propane tank. So these are being found throughout the United States. We actually found two of them here in Coeur d'Alene. And I saw a video of one that was, and I don't know where it was. See, some of the places that we go to and we see these pictures, those are from some guy's camera or phone, and he walking out of a restaurant and goes, oh, look what I just saw. And there's a white van parked over there, and he takes pictures of it and posts it directly to Twitter or something. And I don't have access to pull those things out, so I can't show them to you. But everything else I'm talking about, I have links on my show notes page. So it's just a warning to everyone. Now, here's a light thing. This is nice. There is a gentleman named Mike Rowe. He's very political. He has a TV show. But what he does is once a year he has auctions. Mike Rowe works, and it's an auction. All the money goes to charity. Now, I have a special category I'm doing just today only, and it's called the category of Biden, and I have a special intro music for it.
Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stole many a man's soul of faith. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. You is the nature of my game.
Got a lot of data in here, but some of it I'm not even going to talk about. It's just too disgusting. Val, I listen to Biden talk, and that's hard to do because most of the time he doesn't make any sense. He has vowed to make sure everybody wears a mask if he's elected, including drivers that drive in between cities and states. When we see somebody driving by himself in a vehicle, driving down the road with a mask on, I'm saying to myself, not only is that a Democrat, that is a retarded one. Did you watch the last debate? I watched the last debate, and something I didn't even pay attention to until somebody brought it to my attention. Biden was checking his watch during the whole debate. He kept looking at his watch, I think he was looking at his watch to see how soon before his next dose of meth so that he could talk seriously. Did you also catch where he said and had he warned we're coming into a dark winter? Did you hear that? The dark winter. Just so you understand what that means, that wasn't just a phrase. That wasn't just a phrase that he popped up. There's actual exercise, military exercise called Dark Winter. It was in 2001 and was put on by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the John Hopkins Center for Civilian Biodefense Studies, and it was about a high-grade biological warfare activity. And I have a link to that. You can read the whole exercise. I got a sneaking suspicion, and so do too many people, is that Biden knows what we don't know and is warning people. And I don't think he warned people on purpose. I think he just threatened people. You probably don't remember this, but 1974, just after he got into politics, he was interviewed, and he literally came out and warned people about himself.
Senator Biden, welcome to The Advocates.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Senator Biden, it's nice to have you here. As the youngest member of the Senate, the one, therefore, who may expect the longest career there, I wonder if you'd say to us, since it's clear that you're not corrupt and you got elected, why should people think that the system produces corrupt results when there you are?
Well, I'm not sure you should assume I'm not corrupt, but I'm thank you for that, though.
Well, it couldn't be much clearer than that. Now, there's been a lot of news about this Hunter laptop, and none of the mainstream media, none of them, including Fox News. Now, Tucker Carlson has taken it on, and Hannity has had a few slap shots at it, but the mainstream is not going to. They refuse to. So, OAN, One American News, is the only news place that has the balls to take this on, and an investigator met with Giuliani, who explained everything to her.
In this edition of One American News Investigates, we stand among the select few news outlets willing to uncover the uncomfortable scandal Joe Biden and the Democrat Party are desperate to ignore just weeks out from the 2020 election. An abandoned laptop and hard drive is about to put a lid on any questions of Joe Biden's knowledge about his son's illegal dealings. Joe knew, and his lies and denials every day only expose him for his moral vacancies. What you're about to hear is a continuation of OAN's exclusive series investigating Biden's lifetime of corruption. A true story destined for the history books, if they're honest. 1 year after OAN flew to Ukraine to verify for itself documents proving Joe Biden's abuse of power as vice president, another bombshell development rocks the 2020 election cycle. A laptop of nearly 14,000 emails, unspeakable pictures, and damning text messages from Hunter Biden himself. Dozens of headlines can be generated from all this. But the bottom line, when it comes to Joe's son Hunter and whether Hunter exploited his father's political power to enrich the Biden family, Joe Biden has lied.
My son did nothing wrong at Burisma.
I think he did.
Mr. President,
the only guy that
let him answer.
And lied.
Turns out he did not do a single thing wrong.
And lied.
There's one thing that a lot of Democrats even do wonder about, and that is Hunter Biden, your son, was getting paid a lot of money to serve on the board of a Ukrainian energy company facing serious corruption charges. You were the vice president running point on Ukraine. The average Joe hears that and says, that sounds fishy. What's your understanding of what your son was doing for an extraordinary amount of money?
I don't know what he was doing. I know he was on the board. I found out he was on the board after he was on the board, and that was it.
But the following email from the number three executive of Ukrainian oil company Burisma, Vadim Pozharsky, to Hunter Biden, seems to catch Joe Biden in a lie of outrageous proportions. Quote, "Dear Hunter, thank you for inviting me to D.C. and giving an opportunity to meet your father and spend some time together. It's really an honor and pleasure." Dated April 17, 2015, this is approximately 1 year into Hunter Biden's role as a board member of Burisma, a role for which Hunter was paid $50,000 a month. The question has always been, why would someone pay Hunter Biden, an addict of hard drugs and prostitutes, $50,000 a month to sit on the board of a company for which he had zero experience? The answer has been obvious for some time, but the uncovered emails by the New York Post show that in May 2014, around the time Hunter Biden joined Burisma, Pozharsky emails Hunter for, quote, "advice on how you could use your influence to help Burisma." Burisma just happened to be under investigation for money laundering around this time, and Vice President Joe Biden just happened to be the Ukraine point man. President Trump has long called all of this to national attention.
And he didn't have a job until you became vice president. And once you became vice president, he made a fortune in Ukraine, in China, in Moscow,
that is simply
and various
not
other places.
True.
But this latest trove of evidence, as first published by the New York Post, is a classic expose of a political mafia family whose arrogance knows no bounds. A hard drive was handed over to the FBI. But when the FBI appeared indifferent, a copy was delivered to none other than the very man who has been after the Biden crime family from the start. Former mayor of New York and attorney to the president, Rudy Giuliani. One American News sat down with Giuliani at length immediately after some of the contents of Hunter's hard drive had been published. According to Giuliani, none of this had to be the October surprise that it has become. It's October. We're almost coming up on 1 year since
we were in Ukraine.
We collaborated on Ukraine.
Yeah, and these facts all could have been investigated then, and we wouldn't have it running into a presidential election. But the FBI, the Justice Department, and the major media decided to cover up these crimes.
There's so much that they are covering up.
You can't imagine.
The latest slew of headlines that you are generating together with Steve Bannon and this gentleman out in Delaware involves a hard drive, and it involves a computer. And it involves Hunter Biden.
We've seen about 5% of it. So what it is it's Hunter Biden's hard drive, what looks like his main computer, probably from about 20-something or other until 2020, beginning of 2020. It contains thousands and thousands of emails and texts and a couple thousand photographs and videos. We spent some time verifying it.
Can you talk about that verification
sure.
process?
Sure. I mean, there are things in it that only Hunter Biden would know, because I did a big exhaustive investigation of this a year and a half ago, have a lot of confidential sources. And I'll give you an example. There's a meeting, completely illegal, by the way, a meeting with the Deputy Secretary of State, Tony Blinken, in which Hunter Biden is lobbying him on behalf of Burisma.
We talked about this a year
right,
ago.
Which is a violation of the right. Foreign Agents Registration Act, for which Paul Manafort went to prison, by the way. There's no record of that in the State Department because they brought him in the back door so that they wouldn't have to make a record of it. And the email and text trail explains the whole thing. On that very date that our anonymous source told us the meeting took place. There are two others like that. We went back and checked a couple of the emails to make sure they were accurate with sources. Not only that, if you ever looked at the photographs here, you would know it has to be his, because nobody else would keep something like this other than him. The photographs can only be described as disgusting, bordering on possibly perverted.
I visited with Giuliani at length and was afforded a look at some of the more unspeakable images and contents on Hunter's laptop in order to put this investigation together. Indeed, what has been published in the first few days of this bombshell story are the cleaner versions of what really lurks inside this hard drive.
If I have these photographs of him smoking crack, engaged in every form of sex imaginable, some that I can't even reveal, that could in and of itself be a crime. China has it. Russia has it. If they don't have it, they don't have an intelligence service.
Since the contents of this hard drive have been published, the reaction to it is almost as shocking as the contents themselves. Big tech is desperate to bury it all under the guise of it's unverified. And the Democrat-run media is dismissing this story by questioning its origins.
The contents of Hunter Biden's laptop, the emails, the text messages, the photos, are so damning to the Joe Biden legacy, it's almost beyond credulity. And the media and the Biden campaign have dismissed the laptop's contents as nothing more than a smear campaign turning instead to the classic propaganda tactic of attack the source, ignore the contents. Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrats' lead Russia hoaxer, even in the face of verified emails proving Biden corruption, reverted to his Russia comfort blanket.
Well, we know that this whole smear on Joe Biden comes from the Kremlin.
Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, The Repair Shop have been the sources from which this laptop's contents have been released to the public.
Walk us through the process of receiving this computer, the hard drives. You received it through your attorney, Mr. Costello.
He actually reviewed it with the person giving it to us for quite some time, went through it himself, verified it himself.
The computer had been legally abandoned, says Giuliani, and this was where the Biden's woes began. The laptop was dropped off and signed for.
There's a signature from Hunter Biden, which basically says that it's abandoned if you don't pick it up in a certain period of time. It had been quite some time since he picked it up.
Past the legally abandoned stage, the repair shop, says Giuliani, decided to take a look at what was inside.
The man never really was interested in the hard drive until he was listening to, I guess, some of the coverage around the impeachment and stuff like that. He got very angry because he thought that a lot of things that were being said seemed very strange to him. So he looked at it, and when he looked at it, he immediately struck by the fact that it contained, I can't really describe the photos.
Photos that prompted the repair shop to take the laptop straight to the FBI. These photos have not and will not likely be published due to their graphic nature. But OAN can attest, having laid eyes on some of the more disturbing content, blatant drug abuse, lewd videos, and an inappropriate and apparent fascination with Hunter's 14-year-old niece, Natalie Biden, daughter of brother Beau Biden and Beau's wife, with whom Hunter later carried on a romantic relationship. Emails also note concern expressed between a family therapist and Beau Biden's wife about Hunter's behavior toward the then 14-year-old niece, Natalie.
But what was your reaction when you received this material and you were looking
through it? My reaction is, what a crooked media we have. How could they cover this up? I mean, it's clear that Joe Biden knew all about Burisma. It's clear that he got part of the money.
Citing as one of the most blatant smoking guns, the thank you for introducing me to your father email to Hunter from Burisma's number three executive in 2015, indicating Joe not only knew about Hunter's Burisma dealings, he was actively participating in them. Forced to respond to this particular piece of evidence, in a painfully worded statement to Politico, the Biden campaign was glib. We have reviewed Joe Biden's official schedules from the time, and no meeting, as alleged by the New York Post, ever took place.
You have many more that you're going to be releasing over the next few days, but the emails that we have seen so far, the most compromising two pieces are this email from the number three guy on Burisma thanking Hunter Biden for introducing him to his father, Joe Biden. Now, the wording of it, though, interests me because it's unclear whether the meeting actually happened or not. It's just thanking Hunter for the opportunity. What do you think about that, the wording of that email?
The wording of the email is he's thanking him for having met with the father.
So you think they have met?
Sure.
And Joe Biden's campaign is denying that it was ever on the official schedule.
Maybe Joe doesn't remember.
Adding to Giuliani's confidence, this email proves Biden met with Burisma in 2015. It is notable how Team Biden's response does not deny the meeting took place, only that it wasn't on the official schedule.
You have been following this story for perhaps longer than anyone else who is a public figure. The U.S.-Ukraine corruption scandal, the Hunter Biden involvement. In looking at these hard drives, in looking at this computer, did anything fall into place? Did anything surprise you
as far as helping clarify the story? It surprised me that it's so verified. I never suspected that things like this would be written. I never suspected that he'd write a text to his daughter explaining the payoff scheme.
Rudy Giuliani proceeded to show us texts between Hunter and his daughter, Naomi.
This is probably sometime in 2018, 2019. This is to his daughter. I love all of you, but I don't receive any respect. And that's fine, I guess. Works for you, apparently. I hope you all can do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard, but don't worry. Unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half of your salary. It really explains what I knew from witnesses, which is that this money was intended for Joe Biden. Nobody was paying a drug addict this kind of money. You have to be stupid to think that. You have to be stupid to think that major criminals are going to pay a drug addict $2 million a year, which is what Zolshevsky was paying, or $10 million a year that the Chinese were getting ready to pay him, or put in a $1.5 billion commitment to a private equity fund of a degenerate drug addict when there'd be a really good reason to pay him that money, and that is to get the influence of his father and have his father exercise that influence for you. Half that money was going back to Joe, at least half, plus Hunter was paying for the expenses for the family. How could the drug addict be supporting the family?
In May 2014, around the time Hunter Biden joined Burisma, Pozharsky emails Hunter for, quote, advice on how you could use your influence to help Burisma.
What's Hunter Biden's influence? What influence does a guy who just got thrown out of the Navy for being a drug addict, who is a drug addict at that very moment, what kind of influence would he have? Hunter Biden has no influence. The influence they're buying is Joe Biden. Now, let's get stupid. Mykola Zlozhevsky spent somewhere around $10 to $14 million on the Biden crime family. Now, is he investing that in a drug addict who I don't even think showed up for meetings most of the time? I'm not even sure he ever got to the Ukraine. Do you have to be an idiot not to realize that what he's buying is the most powerful man in Ukraine at that time? Joe Biden. Joe Biden controlled the purse strings for Ukraine. Zlozhevsky wanted to save his business and the $5 billion that he stole. There was one good way to do that. Bribe Joe Biden by putting his drug addict son and his son's partner on the board, and then have a commitment from Joe that when needed, he's going to protect your company, which Joe does in February of 2016.
That is, when Zlozhevsky's company, Burisma, continued to endure the scrutinizing eyes of the Ukrainian prosecutor general Viktor Shokin and found its assets seized, the $50,000 a month Burisma was paying for Hunter was suddenly in jeopardy. Joe Biden had the prosecutor general Viktor Shokin fired, and while Biden told the world it was because Shokin was, quote, corrupt, the then president of Ukraine, Petro Poroshenko, admitted on record that the firing was not on grounds of corruption, as Biden had claimed, but rather on grounds of protecting Joe and Hunter Biden's cash flow. OAN has aired interviews and phone recordings showing as much, but Giuliani points out an overlooked piece of evidence.
Let Biden release the three or four long phone calls that he had with President Poroshenko in February of 2016. President Trump released his conversation with the president of Ukraine. Let's see if Biden will release his in February of 2016 when he was strong-arming the president to fire Shokin. And he was doing it not just to save his son, but to collect his bribe money from Zlozhevsky. State Department had this information 2 years ago and didn't investigate it. U.S. Attorney's Office in the Southern District of New York had this information before I did. And the FBI has had this hard drive for 6 months. And boy, if you didn't look at some of those photographs and you're supposed to be protecting people and you're the FBI, forget even Joe Biden, then shame on you.
Who's in charge of this investigation?
I have no idea who's in charge of the FBI. I mean, Ray covers up everything.
Well, in speaking about Christopher Wray, FBI director, you seem to be saying he's not ignorant of this, but he's complicit.
I have no idea.
The Hunter Biden hard drive and computer has been handed over to the FBI, you say, since January. It's been handed off to your attorney and, in turn, you. And it's been handed off also to Johnson's committee on the Senate side. How confident are you that the Senate will be able to sort through this material? What is your prognosis for the Senate's handling?
I think Senator Johnson is a hero. I think what they've done to him in the Senate is horrible. It is totally ridiculous. I mean, you reveal crimes by these people, and then they accuse you of crimes. But I want to see the FBI explain how they never looked at those photographs. Because there's a couple there that by not looking at those photographs, they put some people in jeopardy.
So, I mean, are they ignoring it or are they just covering it up? Or what do you feel?
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't imagine why you'd cover up this hard drive when even beyond the Bidens, it reveals crimes that are serious. Maybe they're afraid that the media will do to them what they've done to me. And maybe they don't have the courage to withstand it. I mean, I know people that get threatened with being fired, or reporters have told me I can't print that or I'll be fired. And not everybody is a hero. So I think it might be fear. I mean, it was a hell of a thing to get this story out.
When history looks back on all this, there will be two sides. Those who understood and believed Joe Biden and his family to be political opportunists, crooks, and liars, or those who believed Joe Biden to be ignorant, innocent, and faultless when it came to the questionable foreign deals of his drug addict son, Hunter. I asked Giuliani, after confirming in his judgment the verity of Hunter Biden's emails, photos, and text messages, the process of walking this material over to the press. Giuliani says he approached outlets you know.
We approached a lot of people who wouldn't do it.
And why?
Even though they believed it. Because
fear
of the consequences. Yeah, I don't even know what the consequences are. I mean, look at what Twitter and Facebook are doing. They don't want people to hear this.
You say only a percentage of this has been released so far.
Well, it's in the hands of people that can decide themselves to release it.
So does the New York Post have the entire
hard drive? Yeah, the New York Post has almost all of it, right?
Who else has the entire hard drive?
I'm not sure, because some of this was done by Steve and some of it was done by Bob, but enough of them have it. And if it doesn't all get out, I'll get the rest of it out.
Well, the president is already talking about it on the campaign trail.
Well, I only informed the president today.
This is clearly going to affect the election.
I informed the president of what's public. I have not informed the president of what is not public yet, except I did tell him that there is a lot more that isn't public. And I did tell him what I felt I had to, that this is a real national security problem. This is no joke. If I have these photographs, which I do, China has these photographs. And it's clear, given the people he was operating with in China, that they were setting them up so that they could have the President of the United States in their hands.
We have so much documentary evidence and witnesses when it comes to Ukraine. Now, China is a little bit more of an enigma, but there's so much more money involved, isn't there?
Yeah, and they're also an avowed adversary of the United States. I mean, didn't you always wonder why Joe Biden is the only person in the world that thinks that China is in competition for us, isn't a threat to us? He may be the only man in the world who thinks that. Now, that could be because he's stupid. It could be because he's suffering from dementia. Or it could be because his family got millions of dollars from him. I mean, he's got three family members who have been business partners with the Chinese Communist government. His son, his brother, and his sister-in-law. That's insane.
Can we expect any more headlines as it ties to Hunter and China out of this hard drive?
Yeah, sure. There were more than one transaction. I mean, I've only been able to analyze very, very in-depth two of the transactions. There are a whole bunch of other transactions with companies that don't mean anything to me. The only thing I can tell is that three or four of them are run by members of the Chinese Communist Party. So in China, only less than 8% of the population is a member of the Chinese Communist Party. If you're a member of the Chinese Communist Party in China, you're wealthy, you're powerful, and in many cases, you're an intelligence operative.
This is like a political mafia family. How do you break this one up?
First of all, we make sure it doesn't become president, but we can't have a guy with this level of dishonesty in the presidency owned by China. And number two, we prosecute him. Like poor Joe Schmo would be prosecuted.
How do you prosecute
him? Paul Manafort got prosecuted for violating the Foreign Agents Registration Act. You're going to tell me that this drug addict shouldn't be prosecuted for it?
Are we going to see justice?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm worried about the present Justice Department. I gave them everything we developed.
In Ukraine, back more than a year ago.
In January of this year, and not a single person has been interviewed except one fairly insignificant witnesses, even though one was in physical jeopardy. Now, if people have determined this is not true, they've determined it by not interviewing anyone. To me, as a trained prosecutor and lawyer, you can't do that. You talk to the witnesses. There are 5-6 witnesses that say Joe Biden was involved in a big bribe. How can you say they're not telling the truth if you don't talk to them? If you don't talk to them, you don't want to find out the facts.
Which mafia family reminds you of the Bidens the most?
I would say the Castellano, Paul Castellano's family.
Why?
Because they pretended to be legitimate. But Paul Castellano used to put on this impression that he was legitimate. I mean, Fat Tony Salerno used to smoke a big cigar, and when the press came up to interview him, he would tell him to go to hell. But Castellano would pretend he was a businessman and that he had legitimate businesses and he wore a nice suit. And they're even more dangerous when they do that. The Biden family has for years pretended it's legitimate. It's not. They're crooks. They're big, big crooks. James Biden has been selling his brother's office when they were selling it for almost nothing. And there have been stories in the newspapers for years about this. And then Joe says, I don't know my family's business.
Back when you were fighting the mafia, back in the 80s and 90s, wasn't the media on your side? What's happened? Why don't we have a sense of right and wrong?
Well, because, first of all, over a long period of time, a very, very serious bias in favor of the Democrat Party grew in the media. So there was a lot of problems for Ronald Reagan, a lot of unfairness for Bush, both Bushes. But there's something with Donald Trump that it became hatred. Over 3 or 4 years, when you allow yourself to hate the way the Times does and the Washington Post, a lot of your colleagues, it begins to warp your judgment. It begins to eat away at your conscience. And finally, you'll justify things that you wouldn't justify otherwise. You'll say, oh, it's fair to lie a little to get rid of this really bad guy. It's fair to cover up this because maybe Biden is bad, but he wouldn't be as bad as Trump. So we'll cover up the millions of dollars in bribes that he got. Or we'll cover up the fact that we can look at him and see that he's beginning, if not fairly far along, with dementia. They know all this, but they justify it as the ends justify the means. And the thing doing that to them is hatred. Hatred is eating away at them.
Give us a forecast. What's going to happen in the next week? This is day one.
They will continue to write that it's discredited. The things that they have never heard of before are discredited because they're liars and they're covering up. And I'll tell you what I really think it is for the media. It's hatred. Hatred is a horrible thing. Any psychiatrist or clergyman would warn you against hatred, right? Because it eats away at you. Well, these people have developed such an insane, irrational hatred for Donald Trump that they will justify anything. The public has a right to know. Even with that comment that Biden made, we don't deserve to know what his position is on packing the court. I mean, who the hell does he think he is? We don't have a right to know. It's not his government. The press has convinced him it's his government. The press has given him this arrogance, this sort of invincible feeling that all he has to do is tell him it's been discredited and it'll go away. And he can keep the millions that his family got.
Giuliani, Bannon, OAN, The New York Post, there are only a handful of places from where you will hear the rest of this story unfurl. The question is, how much longer will the Biden family go on with their charade? Even the Democrats know. This is the beginning of the end.
And more information is coming out about this Hunter Biden laptop. My son was doing some research. I don't think this is anywhere out there. But the investigators at 4chan, if you know what 4chan is, good. If you don't know what 4chan is, it's a forum-type website that is not safe for you to go to unless you have plenty of security. On that website, they did research into this because the Democrats are claiming it's nothing more than a smear campaign. Well, they found the proof. They found proof you wouldn't believe. In that interview, Giuliani's talking about pornographic photos and things like that. These investigators, I mean, this broke yesterday, okay? These investigators actually found an account of Hunter Biden on Pornhub.com, where Hunter would post his personal videos and pictures. And a lot of the pictures that were online are the ones that are in the laptop. This guy's sick, and some of these pictures were of his sister and his niece. There's more coming out of this, and whether Biden's got a snowball chance in hell, but this guy's career is gone. It's done. And everyone that has anything to do with the Biden family should be arrested for numerous, numerous crimes. And I, again, will have links to everything that I talk about, so you can see that as well. No, it's blocked out. It's not like you can go and look and you're going to see porn or anything. But it has the proof there, and it has a lot of explanations. This is just flat disgusting. These people don't deserve anything in any way, shape, or form in the United States. And they're part of the cabal of the abomination and his boyfriend, wife, Michael, Mike, whatever, Clinton, both the Clintons, Pelosi, Schumer. In fact, Pelosi and Schumer and Kamala are named in Hunter Biden's laptop as business partners. There's just so much crap going on here. It's astounding. And we have been fought tooth and nail by all the communists in the United States, the heads of the Democratic Party. And I hate using that term Democratic because they are not. They're all the enemies of America. They are the enemy within our gates. And they've been fighting this since day one. And they don't want this information out. And that's why they have been censoring it like you wouldn't believe. Now, my son gives a holler the other day and he goes, Dad, you got to see this. And I come over to the TV and there's all these cars with Trump flags on them. And they're out in the middle of nowhere. And I said, where is this? He goes, it's Arizona. This is 75 mile long. People with Trump flags driving along the highway, 75 miles long. I got a clip of that. And I also have a clip of the competing rally that Biden did at the same exact time in Arizona.
It looks like America, exactly.
How many people are out here? What's going on?
I'd say there's hundreds of thousands. There's thousands for sure, but it's unbelievable how many people are out here to support our president.
Oh my gosh, obviously Women for Trump, and it's just like, this is just amazing. The drones have been going over. I lived down the street. I went to a rally last night. There was like 200 off-road vehicles on that rally. There was people standing, you know, with signs saying how much they love our president and America, and we're patriotic.
The best day ever. Yeah, unbelievable. There's more people, more cars than the desert could hold.
This is the only clip I could get of the Biden rally. By the way, you're going to hear a lot of kickback and attacks to the Republicans and Americans that are claiming that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and Jim Biden, they're all part of this cabal and they're all part of this evilness that's occurring and that the laptop is phony. It's ridiculous. It's just a smear campaign, except for a fact. A cyber forensic expert, a cybersecurity expert, he authenticated the emails, Not all of them, because there's thousands of them on that laptop, but a bunch of them. He authenticated them using special programs, that these are real emails. That laptop is real. Everything so far is real. The crimes that were committed by this family are real. And the crimes they want to commit on the American people are just as real. Now, I'm warning all of you. We're going into what's known as danger close. This is a time when you better keep your wits about you. You better use your situational awareness. And you better start carrying a gun if you don't. You need to make sure you have both weapons available and the ability and willingness to use them. We've been promised that all hell is going to break loose. Law enforcement throughout the United States is ready for all hell to break loose. Let's hope it doesn't. Let's hope just a couple dozen pink-haired, morbidly obese social justice warriors with signs that they painted using lipstick walk around the main street a couple times, and that's it. Let's hope that, okay? Meanwhile, keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. Pay attention to what's going on. And hopefully I'll see you next week. This is the Armchair Survivalist signing off.